You're listening to the Crosscheck NHL Show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark.
Welcome to the Crosscheck NHL Show. I am Andrew Berkshire. I'm here with Mary Clark from For the Win. I write for the Montreal Gazette, and also I'm the new host of the newly debuted SDPN Canadians postgame show called Game Over Montreal. You can check that out on the SDPN YouTube page, and wherever you can get your podcasts. This is the Crosscheck NHL Show. You can subscribe here, anywhere you get your podcasts. We're going to be on YouTube soon as well, so like, we're coming at you all the time. So much content between myself and Mary. There's no space for anything else. I'm sorry, but all you get is Mary and I all day, every day. We've got a really exciting show for you today because hockey has started. This is the first podcast in a couple of months now where we actually get to talk about real regular season hockey that matters in the standings. It's really exciting. Seattle had their first game of the season, first game in franchise history against the Golden Knights. We can talk about the Capitals and Rangers meeting in the first game of their seasons. Highly anticipated after Tom Wilson's shenanigans last season. And also, we'll do a little bit of a wrap-up on the rest of the games that happened in the first couple days of the regular season, followed by our pop culture roulette segment. Mary, how was the first couple of days of the NHL season for you?
Good, really good. I think opening day was actually a lot of fun. I mean, we did so much content. We recorded a podcast and we did the live show, which was a lot of fun. So thank you to everybody who tuned into that. And lucky for you, if you missed it, it's also a bonus episode for this podcast, which came out yesterday on Wednesday. So if you missed that, get caught up with that, because that was a lot of fun. We had some really good, guests, kind of, because they were just, you know, videos that played. But it was great to hear more from the Locked On hosts, because, you know, we all know them now. You're all familiar with them after listening to them over the summer with our crossover. But hockey is back. I'm very excited. I am also excited because I'm going on vacation this weekend, but it's great that hockey is back and normalcy has returned. My normal routine of watching hockey games at 7 p.m. is finally back. It's been a very long time. I've missed it. There's finally something at least to watch at least every night, which is great. And so far the games have been really, really fun. And we're going to talk about the Seattle Kraken game coming up first. But that was a lot of fun, and I'm very sad that the Kraken did not win that game.
Yeah, it was unfortunate, and we'll get into that. Before we get into that game, though, we got to talk about Brady Tkachuk finally settling with the Ottawa Senators on a 7-year contract. They didn't go fully to 8 years. No signing bonuses. The Ottawa Senators held firm on that, and I believe it's an $8.2 million annual average, which is just following Nick Suzuki with the Montreal Canadiens signed an 8-year contract extension that kicks in next year that takes him all the way to, I think, age 30. And it's slightly below that. I believe it's like $7.8 million a season. So two big key signings for the Montreal Canadiens and the Ottawa Senators. What do we think about him, Mary?
I'm glad that they got him locked up before the first game of the season, because that was kind of like the big thing, that the Senators were going to go into the season without Brady Tkachuk signed. And they did it. And same day, too, because I believe that they're playing this evening. So hours before their first game of the season, they finally got Tkachuk signed. So that's good. It still doesn't change how I think about the Senators coming into the year. I still don't think that they are going to be a competitive team. But Tkachuk on that roster makes them much more fun and does give them more of a chance to win. I'm surprised that it went that long, because I know that that was kind of the sticking point between the two teams. It wasn't the money. The Senators had cap space to spare. It was the term that was the problem. The Senators wanted to lock him up to a longer term, and Tkachuk wanted, I believe, a shorter term, so he could, you know, hit the market and, you know, maybe not hitch himself to the Senators bandwagon, depending on how badly the team does and if the rebuild, you know, comes together. So I was surprised to see 7 years, but I think this is a good deal. Glad Tkachuk is getting paid. We'll see if it works out for him in terms of, like, you know, if he's going to stick there the whole time, because I know that was a big thing for him if he wanted to stay, but it seems like he's going to, so that's good. And I'm glad Senators fans got a win for them, because I still think this team may not be good this year, but they have some young pieces. And Tkachuk is part of that core, so I'm glad he's sticking around on the team.
Yeah, I think it's a huge deal for the Ottawa Senators. I'm a little bit surprised at Tkachuk getting more than Suzuki, because Suzuki's a center. He's outproduced Tkachuk at even strength, at least last year. He's performed in the playoffs already. I know that Brady Tkachuk has a unique skill set, and I think that he has the makings of being a really incredible goal scorer, but I don't think he brings the two-way play that Suzuki does. So I kind of thought that his number would have come down after the Suzuki contract, but clearly it didn't. And honestly, I have to say, good for the Ottawa Senators for getting it done, even if it is a little bit of a higher number than I expected, because they're a team that has balked at their young players wanting to stay long-term and getting big money contracts. So this is a good thing. It's something that I think was probably hard to sell for Eugene Melnyk, but they got it done, and that's the most important thing for this franchise. It's the same kind of thing with Elias Pettersson, right? Like, everyone who's a Canucks fan or who wants Elias Pettersson to stay with the Canucks would have preferred that they sign him long-term. But at the end of the day, the important thing is Vancouver got him locked up for 3 more years. And no matter what the contract, I don't know if there's such a thing as a bad contract for Elias Pettersson. So kind of a similar thing with Tkachuk. I think the potential is crazy. It's a good deal long term, maybe not short term, but they're not competitive in the short term anyway, so it doesn't really matter. So let's get into the whole Seattle and Vegas thing. Unfortunate start for the Seattle Kraken in that they were down 3-0 about halfway through the game, 2-0 relatively early in the game. But they climbed back. They tied the game. Huge comeback against a Stanley Cup contender, a legitimately excellent Stanley Cup contender. They controlled play most of the game at even strength, but a bit of a controversial goal to win it for the Golden Knights.
Yeah, I'm surprised, because it really did look like Chandler Stephenson kicked the puck into the net. I know the slow motion can be deceiving, so that's the replay that kind of got a lot of attention, but it really did look like a distinct kicking motion to me. I know that Twitter was kind of, you know, back and forth on it and stuff like that, but I was really thinking that, you know, given, you know, the precedent for that rule, it would have gone, you know, it would have been a no goal and we would have gone 3-3 possibly to overtime, because the game did deserve overtime. It was such a hype game. I mean, you saw the intro the Golden Knights had with, you know, the Knight on the ice and like the Kraken projection. Like, that was so cool already to start off the game. And then, you know, Vegas scoring too quickly, and, you know, putting Seattle in a hole. They really did look like an expansion team. They, you know, didn't look coordinated at first. Then they pulled it together and scored 3 straight and tied the game. And I was like, this is perfect. This is a great narrative. And then sadly, you know, a little bit of controversy to end the game. But, you know, I still think Seattle can be proud of what they did. Obviously there's going to be growing pains for this team. But it was really cool to see them rally back and score their first goal. You know, it was just great. It was really fun. I'm looking forward to this, you know, possible rivalry in the future, too, as the latest 2 expansion teams. And also, I have to say that Seattle's white jerseys are just perfection. They're so good.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see what Seattle has in store for us, because as quick as things came together in that game, you have to think that once the team is rounded out, that they're going to be a pretty fun team to watch. I thought they would be a little bit more defensive in terms of like being a bit more boring, but they're fun to watch, you know, and it's fun to see how that played out. I think that as much as people are finding that kicking motion controversial, I think that's the kind of play that I want to see allowed.
That's fair. Yeah.
I think as long as you keep your skate on the ice, you should be allowed to kick the puck, because it's a skill play.
To be fair, and you're right in that we should keep it added to goal scoring, and we all want goals to be scored. And to be fair, if it was in the reverse and Seattle was the one that kicked the puck in for the...
we'd all be happy.
We'd all be happy. They kicked the puck in for the goal, we'd all be happy. So I am kind of hypocritical here in that I wanted Seattle to win, but why not? It would have been a fun story. Nothing against the Golden Knights, but they've definitely, you know, they were kind of like the darlings of the NHL when they first came in, at least for some. I know some people didn't like the fact that they succeeded so quickly and were like, you need to earn your heartbreak and you earn your stripes in the NHL before you have success.
I hate that stuff. I hate it so much.
Yeah, me too. It was a really cool story when it happened, but it really seems that, you know, the Kraken are now the NHL fans' darling. So we all were putting our energy behind the Kraken trying to win, and, you know, it didn't work out, but it was still fun. It was a very Dave Haxtell like game with all the point shots that Seattle was taking. That just flashed me back to my time with with his take on the Flyers and stuff like that. I'm just like, man, I can't escape this. It's the Flyers. My favorite team is the Flyers, and my second favorite team is the Kraken, and they both had Haxtell's fingerprints all over it. But, you know, I still think that this team is going to do well this year. I mean, obviously, you would like to see them do more defensively, and, you know, because like we all said, we thought that their defense and goaltending was going to be the strongest thing about them, and it really wasn't early on, but still room to grow. Very exciting stuff, though. It makes me even more excited for their home opener, I think, 2 weekends from now. It's not this weekend, it's the weekend after. So I'm really excited for that. That's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And we should mention Ryan Donato scored the first goal in Seattle Kraken history, and Jared McCann and Morgan Geekie also got on the board. There was a bit of a freak out on the Golden Knights bench after Morgan Geekie's goal celebration, where he just kind of like spun his stick and then like did the sword sheathing maneuver.
Oh, I love that move.
Yeah, I know. And I saw that there were people upset about it, or at least on the Golden Knights, or maybe Golden Knights fans. I don't understand why we have to do this soft bull garbage in hockey, where it's like, how dare you be happy? Like, he tied a game. He was completing a 3-goal comeback, and he's not allowed to celebrate. And also, for any Golden Knights players who are upset about that celebration, your 2-goal scorer in that game, Max Pacioretty, that was his go-to celebration for like a year. And by the way, he was called out like on Coach's Corner for that back when he was with the Montreal Canadiens, and was like a target for doing that celebration, and he kept on doing it despite. So I think maybe you should talk to your teammate and say, this is no big deal, and we're maybe manufacturing anger for no reason.
Okay,
and
but we want to manufacture anger here, Andrew. But we want this to be a rivalry. I know it's
legitimate,
stupid.
Though.
I know it's stupid, I know. But this is all the you know, makings of a rivalry for years to come.
Yeah.
So I know that it's stupid, and I agree that it's not really anything to get upset over. But this is how, you know, this is how rivalries are made, especially for franchises as young as both the Kraken and the Golden Knights are. Like, I mean, Vegas has been around the league for a while, but they're still relatively young, and they've got some good rivalries. But I think that Seattle could be, you know, a big one just because of the way that their teams came in so close to one another.
Yeah, and hopefully they become a real rivalry, and that'll be fun to watch. But I hate the focus on celebration, because I feel like it like disproportionately pushes young players into this mold of not being able to express their personality, and that really bothers me, and it kind of keeps the game back as much as it could stoke a rivalry for a short period. I want to let the players be themselves and show us some personality. But speaking of rivalries, coming up next, we're going to talk about the Capitals and the Rangers, and the game that everyone was looking forward to, or at least the first 5 minutes of it, coming up right after this. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Actually, Mary, I checked out the BetOnline website the other day, and compared to last year, it's just a whole new situation. Like, it looks beautiful. So their new website design is spectacular. It looks really good. So head on over to betonline.ag and check that out. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. And if you're going to make a bet, you should check out the live show recording that was the last podcast that we did, where Lee Sterling gave us 3 guaranteed bets for this NHL season. Those are good ones, especially the Coyotes one. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So last year, Tom Wilson did some stuff. he did some Tom Wilson things. He smashed, I believe it was Artemi Panarin's face into the ice. He pulled some other cheap shots. Like, he did so much stuff I barely even remember.
It was either him or Buchnevich that he smashed his face into the ice. One of the two. That was like,
yeah, one of the two. Yeah. Was it Panarin that he, like, cross-checked in the back of the neck or something? It was like, he, both of them he'd done stuff to and, like, jumped one of them. And there was stuff from another game before that as well that he was, I think he, like, pulled a headshot or something or a check from behind into the boards. Tom Wilson was doing Tom Wilson things last year, as he does, and the Rangers got very upset. They got very upset the league took, I believe, no action at all on it, or like very
No, they didn't. Weak they action. Didn't. They did. They only fined him, I think, $5,000.
Yeah, so like a slap on the wrist or less, right? It wasn't a real thing.
And then the Rangers had that statement saying basically they were disappointed in, you know, the Department of Player Safety.
Yeah, they wanted George Parros removed, and it was like James Dolan sent out that message, and then right after his like president of hockey operations resigned because he didn't want that message being put out there.
Yeah, a lot
so
of dominoes.
So Rangers were a bit of a mess last year after this, and in the offseason went out and acquired Ryan Reeves in anticipation of this matchup, and not much happened.
Yeah, not much.
There was a lot of penalties, but no fights. Ryan Reeves was a non-factor, and it was a bit of a boring start, but it got so much better at the end because instead of watching a sideshow, we got to watch the best storyline heading into the 2021-2022 NHL season and beyond until his contract is over. Alex Ovechkin clawing away at Wayne Gretzky's goal-scoring record. Two goals in that game, a power play goal and a shorthanded goal, which I didn't get to watch the game live because I was watching the Canadiens game and doing my post-game show. So I was like, how on earth did Alex Ovechkin get a shorthanded goal? There's no way the Capitals are throwing Ovechkin out shorthanded like in game one of an 82-game season. It's because it was 4-on-4 and a penalty expired first, and he just happened to score at the end of a 4-on-4 shift. So that's what happened. It was a fantastic goal, though. Really, really good goal. Definitely check out. It wasn't a classic Ovi goal in terms of his usual spot. It was a really nice goal, though. So he tied Marcel Dion with 731 goals with his first goal, and then passed him with 732. Alex Ovechkin, Mary, he's going to do it, isn't he?
He is. He is. I'm so excited. I was worried a bit in the preseason because he got injured in a game against the Flyers, kind of just accidentally. I think he threw a hit on Travis Konechny and not like he kind of like hurt his something in his lower body, his knee, something. It was just kind of an accidental play, and I was like, oh no, he's gonna miss time. And he comes back and scores two goals in the Caps home opener, and they win I believe, what, 5-1 or something like that. So it was, you know, it was a, you're right in that it was a boring game at the beginning. It was kind of all hyped up to be, you know, this whole Ryan Reeves, Tom Wilson stuff. But it's funny, during one of the faceoffs, maybe the beginning faceoff, Ovechkin and Reeves were just casually talking about, their like summer plans, like what they did over the summer. Cause, TNT has like some of the players mic'd up and they've shown a little bit of, you know, them like talking to either each other or, you know, saying stuff. And there's like this really funny clip I saw on Twitter of Ovechkin and Reeves just talking. But yeah, so that was really a non-factor. And then Ovechkin's like, I'll just score two goals and put myself up on the board and continue to chase Wayne Gretzky's record. And it's fantastic. I mean, I predicted on our live show that Ovechkin would score 40 goals, but the Caps won't make the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. But I am very excited. He's definitely like the reason why I'm favorable on the Caps, because I know some people don't like the Capitals for reasons mostly stemming from Tom Wilson, but I love Ovechkin. I really want him to break the record. And it was also really funny during the game because Wayne Gretzky is part of TNT's desk coverage, basically. So they were like, the people in the arena were going to back to like the desk to interview Wayne Gretzky about stuff, and the Capitals scored twice, and they just kept rolling along with it. Like he just kept talking, and Capitals fans were so upset because it happened over somebody's first goal ever. I don't remember who it was, but they're like, stop, get him off the screen. And I'm like, this is incredible comedy. So I don't know if we'll mention like how good of like ESPN and TNT's coverage has been so far, but it's been really good. so far, and that, like, I've just had more fun watching these games than I ever did with NBC, because stuff like that, like, sure, it is kind of annoying, but it is also really funny that Wayne Gretzky is just talking over these goals. Like, he's just, not much is happening. I mean, he's kind of narrating a little bit how the goals happen, but, like, he's just talking about whatever, and it was really funny.
Yeah, I mean, I have time for that, and I find, like, I love the Capitals fan base, but also it's a very, very whiny fan base, and anytime they get, like, mildly slighted, they're like, it's the Penguins, and, like, everyone's to blame, and everyone's always against them, and it's very funny. So watching them all freak out that Wayne Gretzky was talking over, I believe it was Hendrix Lapierre's first yes. NHL goal, was extremely funny, and they got what they wanted anyway. You got a 5-1 win, and Ovechkin got two goals. You're starting the season off in a fantastic way. And I should mention that the fact that there was no shenanigans in this game in terms of fights, and, like, it didn't turn into a big bloodbath and a bench-clearing brawl, is good. It's good. I know a lot of people were looking forward to it, but that is not the way that TNT's first game should have gone. This was good. I particularly loved watching Wayne Gretzky shoot on Charles Barkley.
Yes.
And they had the net cam, and it was just like Charles Barkley's giant butt covering the entire net. And I saw a bunch of people on my timeline being like, okay, yeah, next have Gretzky on an NBA broadcast and have Barkley dunk on him. Then we'll talk about, you know, who's embarrassing who. And it's like, yeah, that would very well for Wayne.
It really was, because, I mean, Barkley is a big hockey fan. They showed, like, a whole bunch of his, like, clips on, like, the TNT broadcast of, like, basketball, of him, like, talking about hockey. And I'm like, yes, this is what we want. I'm glad we're doing this. This is, you know, getting a big name and having them attached to hockey. And I know we're kind of transitioning a little bit into a topic that wasn't even on our doc, but, like, ESPN's, like, opening day coverage, hockey was on their front page completely. Like, it was, like, night and day from how it has been covered in the past. And I think I saw numbers, I don't remember the specifics, but, like, Penguins Lightning, which we'll talk about in the next segment, that was, like, had double the viewership of, like, from 2 years ago or, like, last year or something like that. I don't know. The numbers were really positive, and ESPN did a really good job on the first day. Their, like, intro video music, the NHL on ESPN music that everybody loves. They had a really cool 6-minute video with the original composer and had, like, a full orchestra, and Justin Bieber narrated. I'm like, this is, like, the most, like, current the NHL has ever been. And I mean, like, they got All Time Low, which I don't know if everybody knows them, but they were a band from my youth. I hate to say that, but they were a band from my youth, and they also have they have some current songs as well. But, like, that's, like, they got them to play before the opening game. And I'm like, what? And I'm so mad that NBC, you know, had been holding hockey back, it seems like, for the past 17 years.
They wasted 15 years.
Yeah, they really, you know? Really did. But I don't really want to spend that much time on NBC anymore. I'd love to just leave it in the past and continue on going forward. But I really did enjoy the coverage so far between ESPN and TNT. I know some people have quibbles with ESPN's, like, aerial camera, because it's kind of like the NBC one they would use for outdoor games, of, like, giving different perspectives on the play. Or, like, you know, the lack of a shot counter in the score bug, or, like, Vegas's really weird acronym. It's not VGK, it's VGS or something like that. It's just very strange.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if that's the exact acronym, but it's not the acronym we're used to. So yeah, there's, like, some small quibbles, sure, but, like, it seems like ESPN, like, this is in good hands, and I've really enjoyed the coverage so far, and ESPN Plus has been a really great replacement for NHL TV. I have not had problems yet, because NHL TV was notorious on my PlayStation for dying and buffering and being slow, and ESPN Plus has so far been really good. I have no complaints there, but yeah, it's been really great to have the NHL on ESPN and getting that bump in coverage and more eyes on hockey. And this is obviously only a good thing, so I really hope to see how this evolves through the season, because they're going to be doing so much more. They're going to be doing, you know, I think the All-Star Game, TNT's got the Winter Classic or something like that. So I'm really excited to see what they've got in store for the future.
Yeah, it's going to be huge for growing the game. I think just this first couple of days, you can see the seeds, you know. We're going to water them during the season, and hopefully by the end of the year, we're going to have some major growth. I can't wait to see what happens in the United States, you know, 20 years from now because of better coverage and maybe better TV ratings. It's going to help grow the game to a ridiculous degree, but we're going to move on from this, and we're going to check in with our next segment. We're going to wrap up on the rest of the NHL games that have happened so far with like a bit of a quick hit segment. But before we do that, I have to tell you about Rock Auto, who are sponsoring this episode. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts from their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership who are upselling you with no competition from different brands? Rock Auto is also a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and you get the same prices as professional mechanics. They have everything you could possibly need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, Mary, so there's a few different stories around the NHL from the first slate of games. The Maple Leafs got a mild bit of revenge on the Canadiens, winning 2-1 in a very, not slow per se, but like a bit of a tactical game that was wild for the first couple of minutes until Jack Campbell calmed things down by stopping some pretty good chances from the Montreal Canadiens, and the Maple Leafs found their feet. I mean, I've already talked about this game a lot, but did you see anything that you needed to talk about with them?
Well, it was funny that, you know, the Canadiens came out in the first like handful of minutes and were blistering fast, and I saw people that were like, man, can you tell the Maple Leafs that this isn't game eight of the playoffs and it's, you know, game one of the next season? Because it really did kind of feel like an extension of the season of, you know, the game seven heartbreak last year, or I guess it was this year, but last season. So not much really though to comment on. It was good to see the Maple Leafs, you know, come back and win the game. I know I can already feel, you know, the collective sigh from Toronto fans that kind of started off on the right foot. Obviously, I know you have a little bit of a different perspective as a Canadiens person, but still, it was, you know, I think you said it best with, you know, it's a tactical game. Not much really like stood out to me outside of like that, you know, first major flurry, but good on the Maple Leafs for mostly, you know, calming it down, sealing off any, you know, like, you know, excess damage to them outside of, you know, not getting that opening goal. But still, it was good.
Yeah, I think the Leafs winning that game prevents like the seed of doubt sticking in the back of their head, right? Like, it wasn't a commanding win by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think that either team played particularly amazingly, but I think it's a good start for the Maple Leafs to be on the right foot, to not be thinking about the playoffs right now, to be knowing that they can beat teams. You know, I think they're a team that is a bit more fragile than they want to admit mentally just because of their playoff failures, but a good start for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so Gabe Landeskog threw a pretty controversial hit on Kirby Dach. It was called during the game. Dach was down on his knees trying to handle the puck, and Landeskog came in from the side, not on the numbers, and slammed him from like 5 or 6 feet away from the boards all the way into the boards. And it looked like his head and like back area of the shoulders kind of slammed into the boards. I'm assuming they called boarding on this play because I don't know what else they would have called it. It's not interference. Maybe a rough?
Let me see. Let me go through the game stats.
But I'm wondering, like, I understand, like, it definitely shouldn't have been that big of a
hit. Yeah, it was
like,
boarding.
Landeskog was trying to send a message. I don't think that's a suspension, though. What do you think?
No, I don't think it's a suspension. I know I saw a lot of people being like, this is a bad hit. And it was. I don't think it's a suspension.
And you can have a bad hit without it being a suspension, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's circumstance and it's just a bad choice.
I think it was just a bad choice. Yeah, I think it was just a bad choice because of the position Kirby Doc was in. You're right. He was on, you know, his knees trying to make a play on the puck. And, you know, Landeskog probably should have, you know, not tried to get at him into the boards. Maybe try and, you know, go from, like, I don't want to say cross-check him in the back, but he would have landed on the ice instead of landing into the boards in the way that, you know, that angle was. Or maybe just not hit him at all. Or maybe try and, you know, muscle him away from the puck without knocking him over. So
yeah, it was a pretty hard hit, that's for sure. He definitely didn't need to go that hard. He didn't even recover the puck, really. I guess he might have interrupted what Doc was trying to do, but I don't know. It was just a bad decision, I think,
and
in the moment of
it. I'm watching it now, and it's he doesn't get his like hands up into his face. It's in his shoulder. So like
he's not trying to be dirty.
Yeah, it's just a play that happens well away from the boards that he gets slammed into the boards for and looks a lot worse because of it. Because of like the impact, especially he has into the boards, it's just a bad choice on Landeskog. I think no suspension is the way to go here. I could maybe see a fine. I don't know, because you never know with the Department of Player Safety. But he got a penalty on the play. I think that's, you know, justice Fair. Enough here, especially because as far as I'm aware, Doc wasn't injured too. I mean, I know that opens a whole can of worms. You know, if you suspend by injury, but still, like. Penalize him, maybe give him a fine to be like, hey, don't do that. pick your spots better, basically.
Yeah, make better decisions out there. And, you know, hockey is a fast game, and we hear that a lot with dirty hits. I don't know if this rises to dirty, but I think one thing that stuck out to me about this hit is it shows you how hard players hit in the NHL, because Doc got straight up ragdolled, and the main reason why isn't because this was a particularly vicious hit. It's because he was on his knees, so he didn't have his edges of his skates. He didn't have solid body positioning to absorb the hit. So when you don't have that, if you're just going to slide along your knees, which are, you know, essentially socks on an NHLer, right? Yeah. They're socks over top of knee pads and shin guards. You just get thrown hard. And
it was very
Landeskog's
fast.
Landeskog's a solid guy, but he's also not like Tom Wilson, right? So the amount of impact these guys absorb on routine hits, I don't think we truly understand it when they're hit standing up. You know, like, it's only when they get knocked off their feet or, like, a hip check where a guy goes flying in the air. That's when we realize how much force is being applied here. Hockey's a fast game in terms of decision making and also in how fast guys are going when they hit you. It's like getting hit by a car.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, I could never do this. Like, it's just, oh. To put your body through all of that is just misery. It's a wonder these guys get up and do this day after day and, you know, take these hits and continue to play. So, yeah, like I said, Landeskog should choose his spots better. It definitely wasn't a dirty play from the, you know, he went high on his head type of thing, but he shouldn't have made that. He shouldn't have thrown that hit because Doc was in a vulnerable position, and I'm glad there was no, you know, actual, like, lasting injury here. But he got penalized on the play. I think that is more than enough right now. But obviously, pay attention just in case if he, you know, starts to throw more dirty hits later this year. But we can come to that. We'll cross that bridge if we get there.
Yeah. All right. Last hockey topic for this podcast, which is the Pittsburgh Penguins, without Evgeny Malkin, without Sidney Crosby, full of a roster of Mark Donks.
Oh, I love that tweet.
Shocked the Stanley Cup champions and absolutely blew the Lightning out of the water in a listless game for the Lightning on a day that should have been probably one of the happiest in franchise history as they raised their second straight Stanley Cup banner to the rafters in Amalie Arena. It was the first game of the season, and I don't think there was many people out there who weren't shocked by the result of this one. Like, hockey is a random game and things can happen, and if a team is underestimating even the worst team in the league, they can get shocked. But the Lightning are so good and the Penguins are so shorthanded right now that this was not expected, especially with, you know, Tristan Jarry not having a great season last year. This was ugly. 6-2 win for the Penguins.
Though a lot of that is inflated, though, by the fact that the Penguins scored 3 empty net goals in the game.
Sure.
But you're right in that it was very lopsided. The Lightning did not look like the Lightning that you would expect. And the Penguins did not look like the team that was missing Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and had possibly a shaky goaltender. So the score is a bit inflated by the fact that John Cooper pulled the goalie like 7 minutes or 6 minutes or whatever left in the game, which I admire.
But we
the
should
bold
say
choice.
It was 3-0, right?
Yeah.
It was 3-0 Penguins to start.
True. But I do admire the boldness of John Cooper to pull the goalie there. But still, it does kind of inflate. But you're right. The Penguins had a 3-0 lead. These Lightning did not look like the Lightning we're used to seeing. I don't know if that's just coming off of that, you know, the banner raising ceremony. They thought they could coast on, you know, just being the Tampa Bay Lightning. If the Penguins stepped up their game because they saw the Lightning raise the Stanley Cup banner and that was kind of a motivating factor for them. I don't really know, but I definitely think if the Penguins continue to play this way, they're going to crush my prediction of them not making the playoffs because they looked really good. But they are just a team filled with, you know, the Mark Donks. I love that tweet, by the way, because it's so true.
It's one of the greatest tweets of all time.
It's so true. How the Penguins continue to pull, like, guys that should be, you know, fringe NHLers or third liners, like at the ceiling, they're third liners, and turn them into, like, what seemingly feels like superstars is such a mystery to me. I have no idea, you know, how they do it, but, like, Danton Heinen got a goal, Dominic Simon, Teddy Bluger, and of course you can't forget Brian Boyle, who was on the Penguins this year. So that was a really cool story. You can't hate Brian Boyle. I think that was his first goal in over a year or something like that, because he didn't play last season, so it was really cool to see him get a goal. You know, the NHL.com recap has it. He scored in his first game in 14 months, so...
Been a while.
Yeah. So that was a really cool story to see. I don't think that the Lightning are going to continue to look this listless. I don't know if
I think their next game is against, like, Detroit or something. I think they're gonna take some revenge and be pretty angry in that game.
Yeah, I think maybe it was just a mindset thing. They really just didn't look like that. They were like, they thought they could coast is kind of how it felt like to me, which, to be fair, they did come off winning back-to-back Stanley Cups, but it lost them a game, and every game really does matter because, you know, you never know if one loss could be the difference between making the playoffs and missing. I think the biggest takeaway for me is that the Penguins continue to ride this wave. You know, once Crosby gets back, that'll be a big boost to them. I mean, I know he's been practicing with the team, so it's probably not that far along now that he comes back. But if they can, you know, weather the storm and get Crosby back and, you know, at least continue to be a nuisance to play against, they should stand a chance until Malkin gets back. But you never know. Who knows? It's game one out of game 82, so it's hard to make sweeping generalizations.
You got to predict all 82 games based on one game. I thought it was kind of funny that with goalies and with a Tampa Bay goalie in the net, the Penguins were ahead 3-0, and with no goalie in net, the Penguins won 3-2. Like, that's kind of funny.
Yes, it is. What a game. I liked the Seattle Vegas game. I thought that was more exciting than the Penguins Lightning game to start off the season, but that's just kind of, that's me. I don't know if everybody feels that way, but I was hoping more from the Lightning in that regard, but it was still a good opening day, I think, overall.
Yeah, and we're into it now. We've got more action tonight. I can't wait to watch more hockey, and we'll be back with more hockey next week. But first, we got to talk about our pop culture segment, and leading into that, we got to tell you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. Did you know that Built Bar has tons of delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. There's their base flavors like coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get 2 of each of the 9 main flavors. And if you're adventurous, that's the best way to go because you can get some of everything. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Each bar contains 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180 based on the flavor, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Well, Mary, I don't know about you, but the first couple days of the NHL season, I have been absolutely ridiculously busy during the day. And with What If over on Disney Plus, I haven't been able to watch any new shows during my lunchtime. I finished the second season of Ted Lasso last week, which we didn't talk about because you're not finished it. And I haven't been able to watch anything in the evenings outside of hockey. So as far as pop culture goes, I've got not very much. What about yourself?
Yeah, same. I mean, it's kind of slim pickings just because it's so busy. And now that, you know, hockey is taking over my evenings, I have less to do. Not less to do, but I'm not doing other things. I'm watching hockey because that is my job. So it's a little slim pickings, but it was really cool. Yesterday was the media embargo release for a bunch of Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker stuff, which is the next expansion that comes out next month. And it was really cool because one of my coworkers got invited to do preview stuff. So it was part of the video game project we're doing with another website. So it was really cool. It was really neat to be a part of an embargo release like that for a video game that is so highly anticipated. And one that is really near and dear to my heart over the last year since I really got into it. So it's really cool to be part of something like that. And, you know, the interview we did with the game director got a lot of hits because of a really funny viral quote about one of the characters. So I was like, I'm really happy we contributed to Final Fantasy 14 lore. So that was like my big win yesterday. So I'm still kind of like psyched about that. It's kind of surreal just to be tangentially related to it, because even though I didn't, you know, do any of the writing or you know, actually participate in playing the preview or interviewing somebody, I was still like, you know, managing the people behind it. So it's just a really cool win for me specifically, and it was just nice. It's, you know, video games are something obviously I really like, as you guys know, so it's just cool to do it for work too. I mean, like, that's kind of how I felt when I first started out in sports. You know, it was just kind of surreal. So now it's like doing stuff with video games and like being part of that is, you know, a really cool experience. So hopefully there's more to come. And that was a lot of fun. And then it's just, you know, getting ready for my Disney trip. So that will be very, very fun and exciting. And I'm looking forward to soaking it all in again. I mean, I was back. I was there in 2019 in like March. We don't go very often, but I thought it would be nice to go now. Obviously, my sister and I will be safe during, you know, since we're still in the pandemic, wearing masks inside, wearing masks outside if we are, you know, in a bunch of, like, a huge crowd. I have no idea how busy it is going to be, considering it is the 50th anniversary of Disney World. So, like, there's going to be a whole bunch of people because there's, you know, a bunch of anniversary celebrations. But I am looking forward to, you know, doing the Food and Wine Festival in Epcot and, you know, spending an entire day just eating and drinking a bunch of different stuff from different places around the world. Looking forward to doing the Star Wars rides I have not done before, since that is also new, or at least newer to me. So there'll be a lot of fun stuff. I'm sad I'm missing the podcast next week, but I will be enjoying a small vacation. I'm glad the dates worked out to be right after opening, like opening night and kind of like the first couple days of the season, because if it had been, I had something to look forward to basically driving me through getting all my content done, essentially. So that was really fun. And maybe I'll have, I don't think I'm going to have time to do anything like pop culture wise, but you know, by next week, maybe I'll tell you how it all was and hopefully everybody gets a vacation in this time. Cause it really is, you know, nice to look forward to something, and even just, you know, going outside is nice. So yeah, that's all I've got, Andrew.
Yeah. I guess the only thing that I've watched in terms of, entertainment and pop culture is, do you remember a couple weeks ago when there was that video of Andrew Garfield that went around in a Spider-Man getup, mm-hmm. and he was asked about it on an interview show and he was like, yeah, it was Photoshopped, which is like, it's a moving video. It's not, you don't use Photoshop on that unless you're doing frame by frame. But anyway, I watch a series on a YouTube channel called Corridor Digital, and they do like a VFX artist react, and they went through and proved that it was absolutely not fake. So Andrew Garfield and by proxy Tobey Maguire are definitely going to be in Spider-Man No Way Home. So it's going to be a Spider-Verse movie. Everyone kind of knew it, but it is pretty much 100% confirmed now. So that's pretty hype.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'll definitely check out that channel because we've traded YouTube recommendations back and forth because, you know, it's so easy to fall down the rabbit hole and just watch a bunch of videos on stuff that interests you but is not really in your line of, like,
expertise.
Yeah, expertise. Like, me with all those music videos. Like, music is really cool to me, but it's not like I understand a whole bunch of it. I just find it really awesome. So that's really cool. That might be something I check out because you can never have too many YouTube videos to watch. I've always got to be watching something or listening to something. I can't, like, sit in silence. You may have noticed that about me and my, you know, ability to talk a whole lot. I do not like to sit in silence. So listening to music or watching YouTube is always a good way to stop me from thinking thoughts, Andrew. I don't want to think thoughts, so that's why I listen to other things or listen to podcasts and have other thoughts about other things.
I mean, that's just the millennial way of life, Mary.
Yeah.
That's how we do. That's how we operate. So that's all we have for you today on this episode of the Crosscheck NHL Show. Usually we have a guest on Thursdays. We didn't even mention that on this episode. We were just too excited to talk about a bunch of hockey that's going on. Next week we will have a guest. We'll get back to the regular programming. Thank you for making the Crosscheck NHL Show your first listen every day. Make sure you tune in next Tuesday where we'll be talking about, you know, whatever happens in the NHL from between now and then. And make your second listen of the day the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast, hosted by Scott Cullen, who leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and analytics experience to bring you the best information to help you in your fantasy league every day of the week. It's free and available on all platforms. And hey, you can also check out Scott at his new job at Toronto Hockey Now. So thanks for listening. See you next week.